Thank you, Tom. What a great week this has been, right? And you bet. Family camp here at Fort Wilderness is always a special time. And so I always enjoy coming. And I've been speaking to the adults, all you kids. I've been speaking to the adults, okay? And we've been talking about prophecy. You know what prophecy is? That's when God tells you what's going to happen in the future. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't you be like to be able to tell what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or whatever? Well, that's what God does. And prophecy is a real important thing to God. And so it should be important to us as well. There's a guy by the name of Grant Jeffrey. He's a Canadian, and he's a prophecy teacher. And he figured out that there are 1,817 verses in the Bible that speak about prophecy. And that's 737 topics that about prophecy that God predicts the future. And that means that 27% or a quarter of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. That is, God was telling the future when it was written. And that's a lot of the Bible. That's a quarter of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. And so do you think God wants us to understand prophecy? It's one of the ways he shows us that the book is from him. He's the only one that can tell things in the future accurately. And God has a 100% accuracy record. Everything that he predicted that has happened historically has happened exactly as he said it would. And then there are a lot of other things that still are in the future. And so we can trust those because we see that he is really accurate when he gives us prophecy. And so why should we be interested in prophecy? Well, one of the reasons is because it really helps us when things get hard. When the world seems like it's wacky and going crazy, you can realize that God really is in control. He knows what's happening now, but he also knows what's going to happen in the future. And he lays it out and he tells us, and everything's right on track. It's right on plan. And so you can just rest in the fact that God is in charge of everything that's going on in our world. And man, that puts you at ease. You can have a peace in your heart and say, well, even though things are crazy around here, and I'm having a lot of problems, God has control of it all, and I can trust him with my future. I heard of a guy that was concerned about his wife's hearing. She seemed to be losing her hearing, and he was concerned about the quality of that loss. And he was talking to his friend Ray, and he said, well, Ray, what can I do? How can I discover how severe her hearing loss is? And Ray was a pretty wise guy, and he says, well, I tell you what, here's an experiment. When you go home, get about 40 feet away in the farthest part of your house and ask her a question. Ask in a normal voice, but ask her a question. And if she responds, well, then that's great. But if she doesn't, well, then move 10 feet closer, ask her the same question in a normal voice and see if she answers. And if she doesn't, come 10 feet closer and ask her. And if not, come 10 feet closer. And if she still doesn't answer, then get right up behind her and ask her the same question. He thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. I could tell how severe the hearing loss is. So he got home and he got about 40 feet away off in the living room. She's in the kitchen. And he said, hon, what's for dinner? And no answer. So he got about 10 feet closer over by the dining room, and he said, hun, what's for dinner? And no answer. So he got 10 feet closer, and he said, hun, what's for dinner? Still, no answer. So he got 10 feet closer, and he said the same thing, hun, what's for dinner? Still, no answer. So he got right up behind his wife, right around where he could do it in her ear, and he said, hun, what's for dinner? And she turned around and said, Bill, for the fifth time, fried chicken. Well, you know, sometimes we look up in heaven, we think God's deaf, you know, because he's got a hearing loss. And so we say, oh, God, you know, it's really a mess down here and I'm having a lot of trouble. Tell me what's going on. And he doesn't answer. And so we ask him again and we ask him again and we still don't seem to get the answer. And then we come to Fort and we open the Word of God and we look in and there's all the answers. And he turns around and says, I've been saying it all along. How come you weren't listening? And sometimes it's us that has the hearing problem, not God. And so you see, when we understand it, it really helps. And so going through some of the things we went through this week, I hope will help you folks in understanding the fact that God really is in control, and he does know what's going on, and he's predicted it ahead of time, and so we can trust him. And another reason that we need to be interested in prophecy is because it's one of the ways that people get interested in the things of the Lord. Everybody's concerned about what's going on today. Everybody's troubled by what's happening in the world. And when they watch the evening news, you know, they get agitated and angry and whatever. And it's just a mess out there. And people are asking the question, what in the world is going on? And so when we have answers and we can show them from God's word that God has talked about these things, they get interested. Everybody's interested in telling the future. And if somebody can do it accurately, and God can. Back in 1971, when I first began to be a youth pastor in Madison, Wisconsin, I was working with college kids on the university campus. And that was the time when the hippie culture was there. Do you guys know what a hippie is? You know, with the long hair, you know, and the bib overalls and the sandals, you know. Someone said that a hippie is a Jack that looks like a Jill and smells like a John. And so there were a lot of hippies, you know. And so I would go downtown Madison, and I'd go down State Street, you know, and I was dressed down in jeans and boots, you know, and sweatshirt, you know, and I'd look for people to talk to. And here was one guy, he had his guitar, and he's sitting in a storefront, and the storefront was all busted out because the students, you know, they would do that when they would riot, you know, going up to the Capitol. And so he's sitting there in the entryway, and he's plucking his guitar. Well, he was stoned, you know, and you kids know what stone means. He was on drugs, and they were acid drugs, you know, and his mind was blown, you know. And he would sit there, and he would pluck just one string, you know, boing. And then he would say, wow. And he would pluck another string, and he would say, wow. He got so good, he could even say it backwards, wow. So I got real interested in this kid, and so I would see him now and then, and I'd go up to talk to him, and he was hard to talk to because he couldn't reason real well because his mind was blown. But one day I caught him sober, you know, and he wasn't high. And so we talked, and we created a friendship. And over a period of weeks, you know, I would talk to Danny and discovered that he was the lead guitarist in a rock band called Bliss. And so I began to talk with him, and one day, you know, as I was explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ died for his sins, and if he would place his faith in Jesus Christ, he could be forgiven of his sins and go to heaven. And he said, you know, that is really, tell me more. And I did, and I asked him, would you like to pray right now and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And Danny said, yeah, I would like to do that. And so we were sitting there in the park and, you know, and in the Memorial Union at Madison, and he just bowed his head and he prayed and he received Christ. And over the weeks, I began to disciple him. I began to teach him the Bible and help him understand what God said in his word. And then one day I was doing personal study. I was just sitting there studying, and he came up to me and said, hey, what you working on? And I was studying a whole sequence of prophecies centered around the feasts of Israel that God speaks about in the Old Testament. And there are seven of them, and it begins with Passover, and then unleavened bread, and then first fruits, and then Pentecost, and those are the four feasts in the spring, and then there's three in the fall called Yom Kippur, or called Rosh Hashanah, and then Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles, and every one of those feasts was prophetic. It was prophetic of the time when Jesus would come, and the first advent, the first four feasts. And every one of them were fulfilled on the very day that the Jews were celebrating those feasts. Jesus died on the day of Pentecost. He was in the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead at the Feast of First Fruits, and the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven at the Feast of Pentecost. On the exact day, the fulfillment of their intent. And then there are three in the fall that haven't been fulfilled, and they will be in the future when God brings his kingdom and Christ comes and he sets up his kingdom. And Danny looked at that and he says, wow, that's really amazing. He said, you mind if I take, and I had it drawn out on a page, and he said, can I take that? I want to share it with some of the others in our band. Well, later that day, they had a practice, Bliss did, and during one of the breaks in their practice, he was sitting there, and the lead singer's girlfriend, her name was Diane, and she was a Jewess. She was a Jewish girl, and those feasts she had celebrated with her parents most of her life, and Danny shared with her the prophetic aspect of those feasts. And Diane was so intrigued that within a day or so, Danny led her to Jesus Christ, and she prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior. Well, her boyfriend, Denny, he was the lead singer in the group, and so it wasn't long before Denny came to Christ. And so now Denny and Diane were also Christians, and so was Danny, and Danny had a live-in girlfriend, and her name was Julie, and Julie, she was kind of different. Julie was a witch. Can you imagine that? Yeah, she was really a witch. And she belonged to a coven in Madison. And there were lots of witches and lots of covens. And she was pretty high up in all the witchery. And so it was a long time for Julie. But she then eventually came to Christ. And all because of the prophecy, learning that God can tell the future. And he does it accurately. And that led this whole rock band to Jesus Christ. Later on, the witches were really mad at me because I was the one that led Julie to Jesus. And so Julie came to Christ, and she wasn't a witch anymore. And so they decided to put a hex on me. So I learned that all the covens of witches in Madison had a hex on me. I'm not sure what they did. They probably sat in the dark and put pins in little dolls or whatever, but I have no idea. And people told me, hey, Dan, don't go down there anymore. It's dangerous. And I said, you know what? God's really working in the hearts of these students. People are coming to Christ. This whole rock band came to Jesus. And I got to keep going down there, and I did. And you know what happened? Nothing. It's a boring story. You know, the witches had no power, and Satan had no power, and Jesus Christ had the power, and kids were coming to Christ left and right, all because of a prophecy. And that's just an illustration how incredible prophecy is in getting the attention of people who then get intrigued that the Bible is such a special book that God can really accurately tell the future. And so I would encourage you to study more on what we talked about this week. Find books on prophecy. Study the scriptures. And the Bible says you'll be blessed if you read the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed are those who read and understand this book. And that's the only book in the Bible that says you'll be blessed if you read it. Now, you'll be blessed if you read the other books of the Bible, but this one says you will. And God says, if you know prophecy, it'll be a blessing to you. So you need to understand it. So many Christians don't understand the prophetic word. But if you do, then you can use that as a means of reaching other people. You don't become a bull in a china shop. You don't rush in and force it on people. But when they start asking questions, wow, then you've got answers. And you can say, hey, let me tell you some cool stuff that God says in his Bible. And let me show you how he predicts the future. So there's a couple of good reasons why prophecy should mean a lot to you. Number one, personally, so that you have the encouragement that he's in control when things are bad. But then also that you have a special arsenal for reaching out to other people, a special gift that they can come to Christ by the intriguing subject of prophecy. So I hope it's been a blessing to you this week. And that you'll take home this encouragement that you learn more about this subject of prophecy. Thanks. It's been fun to be with you.